and their eyesight becomes dim, and their heart is overtaken with desire and lust. Hey, I'm telling you, hey, people that choose the world like Lot did, it comes, don't miss it, it comes with a very, very high price tag. That price tag will cost you dearly. Hold it. It will cost you not just today, the present, it will cost you for the rest of your life. We're going to see it with Lot. We've seen it with many characters in the Bible. Be careful what you look at. Be careful who you listen with. Be careful what your heart tells you. Be careful. He never considered the ungodly, unspeakable immoralities, lifestyle of the sodomites. He just chose it out of his desire. He was being courted by the world. He only thought about his cattle, his flock, his herds, which was his money, which was his wealth. That's what he thought about. Okay, I remind you in 1 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself is the root of all evil. It's when you love money. And by the way, does people ever love money? They love it. He loved it. And so that's what made his decision. He's been courted by the world. The world courted, flirted, enticed Lot. And he took the bait. James 4 says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enemy of God? Be careful. Be awful careful. He was courted. Lot was courted by the world. Secondly, in your outline, hey, Lot was conformed to the world. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the world. So he was courted. Now he is going to be conformed to the world. The same world that conformed Lot is trying to conform. It's after me and you to conform us. Here's how it starts. You ready? In Lot's life, here's how the world courted him, and then how it conformed him. First, with the wrong direction. Verse 12, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now hold it. He didn't move to Sodom yet. He just got close to Sodom. He didn't move to Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He simply chose the wrong direction. He's going to be conformed. It starts by getting closer. It starts by making decisions. It starts by going the wrong direction. Don't miss verse 13. He pitched his head in the wrong direction. Look at verse 13. Don't miss it. Verse 13. But the men of Sodom, don't miss it. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The direction he went towards Sodom, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was thinking about himself only. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, where the Bible says that the men in that city were wicked sinners exceedingly. They were over the top sinful. They were over the top wicked. They were bad news. That's the direction Lot chooses here in our story. He chooses the story here to go and pitch his tent toward that direction. Lot was courted by the world. He's being conformed now by the world. And pretty soon he will be involved in worldly compromise, ungodly direction, uncontrolled desire, a wrong direction he made. Secondly, a willful decision. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now he's living in Sodom. Lot says to his wife, Miss Lot. Lot says, honey, let's get our camels out tomorrow. And let's go for a Sunday afternoon ride. Let's go check Sodom out. Let's go to the downtown port area. Let's go down and do some shopping and some sightseeing. You see, not only did he pitch his tent towards Sodom, but now he's living in Sodom. Now he's taking part in Sodom. Now he's simply living there. He's settled there
in Sodom. He made a wrong direction. He makes a willful decision. Oh, by the way, he's in a place with his family, a place called Sodom, that stands for everything God's against. That's the place he is. He's conformed. He's been courted. Lot compromised. Here's what he says, and a lot of people, you might know people that did something, and here's what they say. They said the same thing Lot said many years ago. He said, oh, no, we're going to live in Sodom. But that don't mean we have to do what the Sodomites do. We're just going to live there. After all, we're Christian. After all, we're mature. After all, we know better. You get into the world, and the next thing you know, you're conformed to the world. Scripture says that. We see it over and over in Scripture. Hey, church, let me just tell you as your pastor, let me just tell you loud and clear, don't chase the devil's rainbows. Don't chase them. Don't go in that direction. Don't just get a little closer and closer until you're in the city limits and then you're in the city like Lot was. Hey, don't chase the devil's rainbows by leaving behind the priceless things that God has given us. We're always looking for what's best for us, but is it really best? And we see it perfectly outlined here when we think about Lot. The third thing I see here is wicked deception. Now, wicked deception takes place when he gets in Sodom, and the next thing you know, we go to Genesis chapter 19. You don't have to turn there, but Genesis 19 is really the wicked, wicked chapter, one of the more wicked chapters of the whole Bible. He's in Sodom. Lot is. He's been conformed. Now he's there. He's settled and he dwells there. And the Bible says in Genesis 19 that two angels come to Sodom. God sends two angels from heaven down to earth to a place called Sodom. When they get there, the Bible says in Genesis 19 that these angels come into Sodom and they find Lot. This is the Bible, and they find Lot at the gate of Sodom. Bible scholars and historians tell us that when it says the gate of Sodom, where these angels found Lot, that it's the place of, the gate of Sodom was the place of political business in Sodom. It was the town hall of Sodom. It's the courthouse of Sodom or in Sodom. You see, when the angels came there to warn Lot and his family about God's wrath and judgment and destruction that was coming, the angels found Lot part of the city council, part of the city directors, part of the city government, part of the what was going on in Sodom. You see, now Sodom is, according to Bible scholars, he's like a councilman. He's on the city council of Sodom. Oh, he just pitched his tent toward there. He said, "We will, just because we live there, don't mean we'll be like them or we'll do like them or we'll become them." No, no, we would never do that. And then all of a sudden we have the angel seeing him, and he is now on the city council as a city councilman doing the business of what's in the interest of Sodom, representing Sodom. Wow. He's in Sodom and he's popular. People like Lot. He's prestigious. You know, he's on the city director's role or the city council role. He's on the city government roles. He's popular. He's prestigious. He has a position. He has power. That's how this world, that's how the world comes. It promises all this stuff that sounds so good, so great, so important. It took a wrong direction with a willful decision. And there's wicked deception. Lot is a Sodomite, VIP. Mrs. Lot is in the Sodom society of women. Their daughters are dating boys who are sodomites. All because the world courted Lot. All because the world conformed Lot. Third thing, Lot was corrupted by the world. In Genesis chapter 19, don't miss it. Listen to me. Look at me. Here we are. Genesis chapter 19 is so vile, so wicked, so immoral that if I read that to you this morning, I would blush in this pulpit as I just read the Bible and described what was said. Genesis chapter 19. It's wicked perversity that took place in Sodom. The world corrupted Lot. When we read about the wicked sinners exceedingly of Sodom, those men wanted to commit the act of sodomy with the angels that God sent from heaven. That's in Genesis chapter 19. These guys were sexual perverts way back then. These two angels take Lot's family to safety before God's judgment falls upon twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So they're grabbing them. Let's get out of here. And they're trying to pull them out. And the angels tell them not to look back. We got to get out of here. The Bible says that Lot's wife takes one last look at her beloved Sodom. You see, you get conformed. You get corrupted. You fall in love with stuff you shouldn't fall in love with. You like stuff you shouldn't like. And it got into her life, and she's being dragged out of there to safety to flee God's judgment and wrath. And lo and behold, it's punishment. And she looks back one last time. And the Bible says she turns to a pillar of salt. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, talking about Christians, you are to be the salt of the earth. We talked about it on Wednesday night lunches, and salt, we're salt. Salt, we ought to be something that seasons other people by our lifestyle and our walk with the Lord, or our everyday walk. It would cause people to want to be Christians. There ought to be a thirst for it. There ought to be an attraction that we want salt in our life, and we want salt on our food. And so, lo and behold, we don't have time to talk to really look at it, but let me just give you like a minute's worth of scripture here. And she turned to a pillar of salt. Abraham had tried to negotiate with God and said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And Abraham said, well, what if I find 50 righteous people? And God said, well, if you find 50 righteous people, I won't destroy it. I won't pass judgment. I won't send my wrath. And he tried to find 50 and he couldn't find 50. So he goes back to God and said, Lord, he said, what if I find 40 righteous people? Would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, yeah, if you find 40. Couldn't find 40. So Abraham says, Lord, if I find 30, if I find 30 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, would you spare your wrath, your judgment, would you? And God said he would. He couldn't find 30. He said, Lord, if you find 20, would you do it? He couldn't find 20. So Abraham, his last chance, his last Hail Mary, his last hope was, Lord, if we find 10. The reason he said 10 is because Lot had a wife. They had two daughters. They both were married. So we got six people right there. Six people that should be saved. Six people that should be Christian. Six people who should be the salt of the earth. Should be. They probably have kids. So 10, we've got 10 in the bag, Lord. If I can find 10 righteous people in Sodom, would you destroy it? And God said, I would. And they couldn't find it. So now you know why she turned to a pillar of salt. It takes salt. You have to be the salt of the earth. You have to have a testimony. You have to live a righteous life. You have to do what's right. You have to speak right and talk right and act right and behave right and do those things. She turned to a pillar of salt, reminded them that's what it takes. Couldn't find them. So the angels are pulling them out, and Lot's wife looks back, and so she's stuck there as a pillar of salt. And now the angels have got what they're pulling Lot and his two daughters. And so they go to a cave, and it's just them, and then God's judgment falls, and everything's destroyed. And then wicked girls who went to Sodom because their dad took them there, those wicked girls that learned what Sodomites were doing, those wicked girls that was dated by the Sodomite boys, those wicked girls, their dad had took them there to that place they had no business going. He had no business taking them there. But all of a sudden, hey, they're there, and they're just thinking like Sodomites do. Remember, Sodomites are wicked. Exceedingly, they were wicked sinners. Exceedingly, man. I mean, they was doing stuff we couldn't ever even imagine thinking about. And so they got their dad there, and they're in a cave. And so one girl says to her sister, "They said, look, it's just us. It's just our dad. And it's just me and you." And so she said, "Why don't you get dad drunk tonight? This is terrible. Why don't you get dad drunk tonight, and you lie with him, and then tomorrow night will be my turn, and I'll get dad drunk tomorrow, and then I will lie with him." And lo and behold, they got their dad drunk, and these girls who simply just knew the ways of the world, they only knew what the Sodomites knew. They learned what the Sodomites did, and lo and behold, they went and had incestual relationships with their dad, and then lo and behold, they have a baby, and the baby's daddy is Lot, and the baby's same daddy is his grandfather. So wicked. So evil. So immoral. One of the most immoral, vile stories in all the Bible, Genesis chapter 9. The world courted Lot. The world conformed Lot. The world corrupted Lot and his family. What did Lot lose? He lost his worship. He grew up with Uncle Abraham, the man of faith. He grew up with Uncle Abraham, the man that the Bible says was the friend of God. He grew up with the father Abraham. He lost his worship. Secondly, he lost his witness. Lot lost his witness. See, when the angels warned Lot about God's judgment coming, Lot went to his son-in-laws. He went to his daughter's husbands, those Sodomites, the boys that they married, and he went to them, and he said, "Hey, God's fixing to destroy Sodom, and we're going to get out of here. These angels are here from heaven." And the boys laughed at Lot. They mocked Lot. They said, "Man, the way you live, you're at the gate of Sodom. You're down there at city council. You're hanging out with them. You're offering your daughters to the men of the city. Are you kidding me?" They said, "Man, you're just a joke. You're a phony. You are a fraud." He lost his worship. He lost his witness. Thirdly, he lost his wealth. The love of money. He couldn't wait to get there. He couldn't wait to get to those well-watered, lush plains, the fertile valley, and all that green grass where he has heard. He lost his wealth. As a matter of fact, he lost everything. Everything accumulated went up in smoke. His dreams destroyed by fire and brimstone. His schemes destroyed by fire and brimstones. His plans destroyed by fire and brimstone. His life destroyed by fire and brimstone. It all started because Lot said, "I'm tired of being known as Abraham's nephew." I'm tired of being in his shadow my whole life. I want to be my own man because I am my own man. And he moved his family to the greener pastures. He became a big shot. It only cost him, don't miss it. It only cost him everything. It only cost him his wife, his daughters, his family. It only cost him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The world, you can't trust it. The enemies we have is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't ever think you're too big, you're too strong, you're too spiritual, you're too mature to handle the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lot couldn't do it. We'll see where Abraham couldn't do it. David couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. This pastor can't do it. There are enemies, and we've got to simply stay away from those things. Heavenly Father, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name, that Father, you'd speak to our hearts. And Father, we pray that we would be the salt of the earth. That we'd make up our minds, Lord, to be men and women and young people, Lord, that would just be the salt of the earth. Be real. Be genuine. Be something, Lord, that's different, peculiar, maybe. Lord, be something that others see so much of a difference in who we are, what we are, how we act, how we behave, that, Lord, they'd say, that's what I needed. Do it, Lord. Just do it. Use us. Small crowd here today, Lord, use us. It's big enough to do that. So we pray, Lord, that we would take the path of the world. And we are thankful in the lead you put in our lives, our families, our relatives, our homes, our health, the wonderful salvation by grace you provide for us. Lord, bless in this invitation. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. We're staying in. Brother Ruth is going to lead us.
There's a light for us on the sea, and light forever. Eyes upon Jesus. Let the glory of His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange in the light of His glory and grace. Through the light of earth, over us and over heaven, for and His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely mine in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you. He made heaven and all will be well. Then go to what a worldwide sound. His perfect salvation.
Anybody else? Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely in the light of His glory and grace. Oh, so are you weary and troubled? The light in the darkness you see. There's a light for all that's the Savior. And life for abundantly free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you. May be seated. Coming today is Floyd and Cameron. These pretty girls right here. Floyd, how old are you?
10.
Well, 10. And you're fixing to be 11. Then you're going to be 11 next month. 10 years old, these young girls accept the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart in Sunday school this morning.
Amen.
Right there. Chloe and Cameron are no strangers to us. These are one of Mike's granddaughters. And we love these girls. We've always seen them grow up. And so we're glad to see them today. And God had His will for them to be here today. And Andrew, their Sunday school teacher, led them to the Lord and called me in there and did that with them as well. And so they got the ABC method. And so, Carol, that's your favorite. And so they got the ABC method. And so we've asked Mike and we're going to ask their parents about them being baptized. But they had one restriction. A fact. They're already Baptists and they already have restrictions. And so you're going to be married, you're going to be baptized second. And you're going to be baptized first. We're going to put both of y'all in the baptistry together, right? And so you can watch the other one get baptized. And when you get baptized, you get up and you can watch her get baptized. Isn't that precious? Amen?
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk to Mike and their mom about that. And so they've come and asking us if they want to follow Christ in baptism. We're going to get permissions from the ones we have to plan that in a couple weeks. And so we're going to hear a motion. We accept them based on that. All right. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to leave them up here with Mike. And we're going to pray. You come back and give them the right hand to tell us if God bless you.